Good morning. How are you?
Well, we're fantastic.
We were just making sure you were awake, Shannon.
Well, I was waiting for my lovely intro, so I'm over here hovered over the buttons that I have to hit. So,
well, I did say the one and only Shannon Bruffett. Does that count as an intro?
It was a good intro, I think.
Yeah,
I think it was a fabulous intro, but I just wasn't quite expecting that. And so,
well,
but,
you know, well, with me, you learn to expect the unexpected.
So, yeah, no, and I was also chewing on a fruit chew. So,
oh yeah,
nice. Breakfast.
Well, somebody bring
nutrition.
Yeah. Really? That sounds pretty fruity to me.
It is the breakfast of champions, you know, and we talked about Halloween candy and that sort of a thing. And there are still, like, my son likes all the chocolate. And when we were going around for Halloween, he was asking my favorite candies. And I'm like, I love the sweet tarts. I like the Starburst, like the fruit chews. And he likes all the chocolate. And he's like, well, I'll give you all the Starburst. I'll give you all of this, but he's like, you're going to have to share the Starburst with me. So,
oh my.
Yeah. But somebody brought in some of those Tootsie Roll fruit chews. And I know, like, a lot of kids are kind of look at those and go, eh, those, I love those. I don't know why, but I walked by the bowl this morning in the office and I'm like, okay, there's my breakfast. I'll take that.
I like it.
So, but yeah, it's lime this morning, and I saw a lemon one out there. I might have to run out and get the lemon.
Any coconut?
Oh, coconut.
No, I don't. You know, I don't do coconut, but I do the.
Oh,
I just said
man.
Doo-doo, but
you gotta have lime and coconut. You put the lime.
Well,
in the coconut.
You put the lime in the coconut. Mm. Yeah,
yeah. But like where I do like coconut are the Girl Scout cookies, the ones that rip your mouth up. I can't remember what those are called, but you know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, you mean they literally rip your mouth open?
Okay, so here's the deal. When I worked in television, they used to do, and I don't know if they still do, they would do what they call the Girl Scout cookie crunch off. And they would get local celebrities, and I use that term loosely, but we would have like a relay team. And what they would do is they put one of every kind of Girl Scout cookies on a plate, and they would give you milk or water, and whoever could, you would eat the Girl Scout cookies as fast as you could. And then you had a relay team of four, and whoever finished first obviously won. It was a relay team and a relay race, and you know, you would get to split this huge box of Girl Scout cookies. But that's what they did every year to kick off their cookie campaign. And those, I think they're called Caramel Delights, and they've got coconut in them.
Wow.
And those are the ones, and it's toasted coconut. And so the secret, if you ever do a cookie crunch off, is you start on that one first, because that's the hardest one to chew. And then, like, what you do is you, okay, here, I hope everybody's not eating right now. You dump, so that my secret was you dump either your milk or your water on your plate of cookies to start them soaking. And then you pop in that caramel one, and you just keep chewing, and you just keep shoving them in there. And it is the most disgusting relay race to watch.
Hey,
I have set a local record of all 8 cookies in 30 seconds. 36
that's
seconds.
That's amazing.
That's really fast. I mean,
good.
I've never heard of anybody that's done that.
I've been in so many.
Until
eating,
now.
I have been in eating contests. You would not. Caramel apples on the 4th of July.
Uh-huh.
Grits. Donuts, pizza, all you can eat kind of food at buffets. I've been in so many eating contests. I always say I didn't get this food from this body from salad. So anytime there was an eating contest come along for the radio station, they were, oh, James, you need to eat on Saturday.
Oh boy.
Yes.
And that's not even counting hot dogs.
Oh no, I can't do hot dogs.
I can't either.
So.
Yeah, it's really, yeah. Really, you know, it's, you know, I've been in these contests with major league eating. It's these guys.
Oh, people make livings out of
they,
it.
They make good money. They make good money. But you know, you were talking about. I hope you're not eating. everybody heads after the thing is over. You're so sick. Everybody heads to the bathroom, and that's what they do. Let's just say they don't keep it long.
Yeah, we'll just
really,
leave it
moving
there.
Right along.
but if you, I will say this, if you ever need an anchor for your Girl Scout cookie crunch off team, I'm your girl.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So you say it hurts your mouth?
Well, yeah, the toasted coconut, because you're chewing it so quickly. and you just keep chewing it, and you just and then you're shoving more cookies in there and more cookies cookies.
As someone who is a big fan of Captain Crunch, let me tell you, if you don't care about the roof of your mouth.
Right.
It's
like eating grape nuts.
It's crunchy, to say the least.
Yes.
Zesty, too.
Yeah. Not to mention crunchy and zesty and everything else in between. But man, man.
And sugary. This is why we don't buy it for my child.
Your mom's the coolest.
Oh, yeah, really. I mean, I can just imagine the many faces that Grayson is going to be experiencing right about now. He's probably getting all kinds of strange looks, knowing for a fact that his mom is a real champion eater.
Oh yeah, just on the cookies. Don't make me do it on anything else. No.
Well, that's how the cookie crumbles, Shannon.
I need my but I'm tiss.
Oh my.
Yeah, you do. But
free of charge.
Well, there are a lot of holiday events that are coming up here in the next week or so. We're going to be discussing some of those. In fact, today is the deadline to get yourself registered if you want to be part of the Joplin Christmas Parade that's coming up on December 1st. So we've got details on some of those events on the way next here on Four States Live. We're rolling up on 720. And welcome back. It is Four States Live on this Wednesday, November the 18th. Shannon Bruffett with you this morning. And of course, if you'd like to be on the show, don't forget to hit me up with an email, fourstates@kkowradio.com. You can also message me on Facebook through my Facebook fan page. Just go ahead and go there and look for Shannon Bruffett, AMI Radio Group. And James, are you ready for the holidays?
I am ready for the holidays. You know, I have some really weird holiday traditions. Like, I have things from when I was a kid that I put on the tree every year, and they're really ugly and really old, but you know, these are the things that you do at Christmas.
They are. And you know, I still have my mom still has a lot of my old decorations that I would make in first grade, second grade, you know, or preschool, and we still hang those, although some of those we started hanging on the back of the tree.
Listen to this.
It's unique, and other people find it funny, but it's kind of sentimental. When I was a kid, my mom was a single mom and working lots of jobs, and we didn't have a tree topper, so we cut one, a star out of cardboard, and wrapped it with aluminum foil. And that was when I was about 10, and I am 46 and still have that and use that. And everybody else thinks it's hilarious because it looks really bad, and I just fix it up with new aluminum foil on when it gets messed up, and I use it every year.
That's a tree topper. You know, it's a tradition.
Hey, you know what? And it works. It truly works. We got a new Christmas tree over the weekend, and it's almost too tall. I mean, it barely fits in the room, but if we would have gone short, it would look silly with our ceilings. Well, we've got, I mean, our ceilings are 9 feet and a half inch, and we got a 9-foot tree. So I'm having to find a different tree chopper, or I'm going to have to modify the one that I have and probably either zip tie it or somehow tie it to the top to make it work. But it's a gorgeous tree, and it's not decorated yet, but it's up.
Well, one idea is just to make it out of cardboard.
No. I mean, my husband and I, when we were dating years ago, and keep in mind, he and I started dating when we were in high school, and we did our own kind of Charlie Brown tree, and we actually did those aluminum foil ornaments. We cut different shapes like moons and stars, and we wrapped those cardboard pieces in foil and hung those from our little tiny tree that we had at my parents' house. And I still have those ornaments. They're packed away in a box, but I still have those ornaments. And that was just kind of a silly thing that we did one year, and I still have them.
That's what makes it special. I think that's why people like to hear the standards, like Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, Brenda Lee, those things. I think that people just really like to think of their childhood and growing up, and even more than the current Christmas songs. Now, my neighbor right next door has all it's not just that his Christmas tree is up, but he has completely decorated his house. All the lights all over the outside of the house are all on. He did this on Sunday. And of course, then you showed me a meme a while ago, Keith. Downtown, Keith Brown in the studio, and Shotgun is another guy here on the radio.
Oh, yeah, our very own Shotgun, Steve Kelly.
He posted a meme, and he has a picture of his Christmas tree up on social media, right?
Yeah, it's more like a storage shed.
What's going on with that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'll have to find that. But it does say, here's my Christmas tree. It's still in the shed because it's still early in November.
Right.
It's
right.
still in the shed because it's still November.
Some people are against putting your tree up too early. Wait, let's eat the bird, okay?
And yeah, just eat the bird first, and then we'll ruffle a few feathers and then decorate the tree. And then break out the tree.
I understand that. I mean, the last couple of years, it's mainly since Grayson's been born, I haven't gotten as much into decorating. Just because he's exhausting sometimes, keeping up with him and everything else. But I used to put up 10 Christmas trees every year. And I had a special one for the dining room to where I actually used a vintage gold-plated silverware set, cutlery set. And I actually put hangers on those. And so I had a dining room tree. And it was hung with, knives, forks, and spoons. And I also put teacups on there and dishes and everything else. So, I'm a little quirky that way. It happens.
Well, it's good to know that our very own Shotgun Steve Kelly isn't the only one. I'll just have to send you that picture that he posted because I finally pulled it up.
Yes.
But it does say, here's a pic of my Christmas tree, and it's just a storage shed. That's right. It's still in the shed because it's still November.
But I'm pretty proud of my husband. He actually put the lights up on the fence that goes around our house. We haven't plugged them in yet, but he got those put up for me. And so as soon as Thanksgiving's over, we're going to start lighting it up outside a little bit.
Well, he's going to be all lit up for sure.
Now, Shannon, do you know the song Hard Candy Christmas by Dolly Parton?
Oh, that's a great song.
I think so.
Yeah, this is one of my favorites. It's another one I like to hear. Dolly is back in the news. You heard about this?
I know, yes.
What did you hear?
Something about $1 million.
Yeah,
some kind of donation.
For the Moderna vaccine.
COVID. Let Dolly tell the story.
I haven't read up enough. I'm just happy that anything I do can help somebody else. And when I donated the money to the COVID fund, I just wanted it to do good. And evidently,
it is.
And let's just hope we find a cure real soon.
That's right. And so, it's just absolutely amazing. They say this vaccine is 90% effective.
Over 40% of the 30,000 participants in the trial had high risk of severe COVID-19 disease. That's particularly good news because if you look at the efficacy we saw, which was 94.5% against any COVID-19, that held up across all of those groups. And in particular, there were 15 cases over the age of 65 in the study who had COVID-19. And similarly, there was a 94+% reduction in that population as well. So overall, although it's preliminary analysis, we're looking at clear evidence that the vaccine can protect those at highest risk of severe disease.
So there's hope, and this is so exciting to me because, I think that's why people are already putting up all their Christmas lights and their trees is because they want to think back to a time when before this pandemic and everybody had to wear masks and the quarantine, the stay at home. And so people are excited. It's 94% effective. This is exciting to me.
Well, it is a positive step in the right direction because hopefully this vaccine will be available. They're talking about the next few weeks or so, sometime next month or maybe even in the early part of the new year. But hopefully they'll be able to have enough doses available that they can end this pandemic for good. But it will take a while.
Yes. And I know especially the Grayson and I'm sure not just all the adults, but, the kids as well. It's heartbreaking to pick him up from school. I mean, it's kind of cute to see him stumbling out of the school all day, after being there all day and he's tired. But to see the kid coming out in a mask and that sort of thing, I can't wait to pick him up and I don't have to see that anymore. So and I know he's excited for it, too. So that way he can have more normal playground time with his friends, and he's excited for Christmas. So
we can see our parents again.
Yes. He's gotten to see both of his grandparents, but we've been very careful regarding touching and that sort of a thing. In fact, over the weekend, and I'll see if I can figure out my phone to share it to my fan page, because I've talked about Grayson's piano playing, right? So he had what they call a master piano class over the weekend.
Oh, my.
And yes. And so what's kind of cool, we pay in order to take part in it, but he has to memorize a certain type of piece or whatever. And he will play it and he has to do it by memory. And he chose, I don't know how it's pronounced. It's six Ecossaises or something like that. Ecossaises, but it's by Beethoven. And so he chose to play that for a teacher. And then they brought up a professor from John Brown University out of Northwest Arkansas. And then he was able to have a little bit of a one-on-one piano lesson with this college-level music professor. And so, and he did pretty well. He did pretty well. He was a little nervous, but he did a fantastic job. So, but, you know, my mom couldn't come into the room with him. So they really limited things. So it'd be great to be able to see the grandparents again, one-on-one, and being able to hug them and that sort of a thing, which she hasn't been able to do. So,
well, I'm a huge Elton John fan. So when you played that video for me, I became a fan of Grayson.
Yes. You knew him when.
What video was that? I'm kind of curious about that.
I got to meet this kid before I have to go through a 300-pound bodyguard to, you know, try to get backstage. No.
Oh, goodness.
So her son is really, you know, for 10. I mean, for anybody. I can barely play Heart and Soul. This kid is amazing on a piano, and he's 10.
Was he playing Crocodile Rock? That's what I want
to know. No, but, well, he was dressed. So for Halloween last year, he went as Elton John from 1983's I'm Still Standing video. So it was the suit, and he had the big glasses, and he even had the boater's hat and the cane and everything.
Oh, okay. I remember now.
Yeah, and then for his recital that year, his fall recital, he got up there in costume, and he played Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. So,
and the boy and the boy can sing, too.
Wow.
Yes. Yep, he can sing, too. But I'll try to see if I can figure out how to post the video to my Facebook fan page during the commercial.
Sounds to me like he was all keyed up.
So, is he in school right now or listening to the station?
Well, he's not in school at the moment. I'm sure he's listening right now as he's being dropped off.
He knows he has a fan.
Yes, indeed. He's got two big fans right now.
Yes, two big fans. But I know a lot of people out there are fans of Christmas. And again, Christmas season is getting underway. Now, tomorrow, they are doing the tree lighting in downtown Joplin, and that is getting started at 5:30, so that'll run 5:30 to 7:30. It's also the window display contest. They are encouraging the social distancing, but it's being hosted by the Downtown Joplin Alliance, so make sure you swing on by. Check them out on Facebook. They're encouraging people to go out and have dinner, but social distance, make sure you're safe, and see what the window displays have to offer, because I was driving downtown a couple of days ago, and you're seeing people out there getting their window displays ready because they want to win this contest. So you'll have a chance to vote as well.
But your husband is, what's his name?
Matt.
Does Matt tell Grayson lame dad jokes?
They have their own inside jokes. Like right now, their big thing is bro or bruh.
here's one for Grayson.
Hey, do you know what's brown and doesn't weigh very much? Light brown.
Light brown. I had nothing to do with that, Shannon.
Oh, my. Well, anyway, hey, coming up next, we're going to be talking with Joplin Scottish Rite. They've got a big fundraiser that's coming up this weekend. It's to benefit children with speech and language needs. And so we're going to get details on how you can participate. It's also a chance for you to get some Christmas shopping done as well. So that's on the way next here on Four States Live. And welcome back to Four States Live. Yeah, Chris, just leave those alone. The headphones get a little floppy a little bit. So it's always fun to watch people struggle with those headphones. You got to have the old-fashioned Radio Shack ones like mine instead of the real professional kind like what we have here. But Chris Briley is with us this morning with Scottish Rite Valley of Joplin. And of course, a lot of people know the building. It's right there at 5th and Byers. Huge, amazing building. But a lot of people don't know what's in there. So let's just start there before we get to your fundraiser.
Okay. If you've never been in the building,
it is gorgeous.
Show up. Well, times it is hard, but normally we had a secretary in the building, and you'd show up, and if he had time, he'd give you a tour. It's a very cool building.
Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about the Masons. What do you all do? I mean, I'm not talking about the Dan Brown secrets and all that good stuff, but you know, a lot of people don't really know what the Masons are all about. Yeah.
It sounds very cliche, but it's about making good men better.
Right.
We're not a drinking club. We don't sit out and drink bourbons and cigars.
Right.
We're actually here to help the community. Kids,
Kids especially.
Especially. We do a lot of programs with the Children's Haven. We do a program called MoChip, which is a Missouri Child Identification Program. And what we do is a couple times a year, they'll come through and we'll put anything that can go on an Amber Alert in a disc that is formatted exactly for the first responders. Mm-hmm. And hours are crucial in yes. that situation.
So how did you get involved? You've been with him and now for about, what, 8 years?
8 years, yes, ma'am. My uncle was a Mason, mm-hmm. and he not only was he a Freemason, but he was an operative Mason as well. He laid bricks. He had a ring with a funny little symbol on it, and I knew that he was a very nice, generous man. He was from West Plains, and everybody knew him, and he was always helping out in the schools. But I was young enough that I didn't understand why. I guess I thought he was a good guy, and he was. But as I got older, he would go to these meetings and come home and I would talk to him, and I, what are you doing? What is that? And he explained, and that's something that I wanted to do, but I didn't know how.
Right.
So what I did is I contacted the state, the Grand Lodge, and it was weeks later, and I got a message from our local lodge, said, hey, come down and visit with us. And so I came down and loved the guys, and...
And here we
are. Been there eight years.
And, of course, one of your pet projects has been the Children's Haven, which is it's an amazing operation. I remember where they first started up years ago and the old house that they were in, and now they've got this beautiful new facility. And, you know, these are kids going through rough times, and you guys step in every year for Christmas to mm-hmm. to make that Christmas a little bit brighter.
Yeah, we provide we get a Christmas list from the director couple weeks prior, and we've done this for about 5 years now. We've learned that a kid accidentally will pop in 1 or 2 days prior, mm-hmm. so we kind of prepare for that.
Sure.
But it's heart-wrenching to show up with all these presents and watch these kids open them, and sometimes that's all they're going to get for
yes.
that year.
But, of course, there you work with kids not only going through those difficult times, but you help out their parents as well. And that's what the barbecue fundraiser is going to be coming up. That is this weekend. We're going to be talking, get all the details on that. It's also a chance to do a little bit of Christmas shopping. That's on the way next here on Four States Live. Stay with us. And welcome back to Four States Live. It is Wednesday, November 18th. Once again, back with us this morning, Chris Briley with the Scottish Rite Valley of Joplin, of course, there at 5th and Byers. We were talking about a little bit about what the Masons do here in the Joplin area. And one of those things is helping kids, and this helps out their parents as well, with speech and language needs. And you've got a big barbecue fundraiser that's coming up on Saturday
yes.
to help you guys continue with that mission.
Yes. Fortunately for the kids, tickets are sold out now. I heard yesterday that we had 4 tickets left, but they are gone.
Gone.
So tickets for the barbecue are sold out, which is a great thing for the kids.
Great thing, yes.
But there is still an opportunity for Christmas shopping. From 1 to 4:30, we are having a cash and carry sale. Thousands of items. Mm-hmm. All the vendors for Sam's, Home Depot, and Sam's, or Walmart, I'm sorry. Walmart, Sam's, and Home Depot
uh-huh.
Have donated anything from packages of socks to high-end jewelry. We have hunting equipment, outdoor camping stuff. We have full patio sets.
Oh, wow.
The cathedral right now looks like a flea market.
Oh, wow. It kind of looks a little out of place there with the marble
yes.
and everything. But,
yes.
hey, that's a good thing to have. And I like the fact that you have a wide variety of items to where people can peruse, pick out what they like, you know, take it home. I don't know how you would wrap a patio set. Maybe you could, you know, take a picture of the patio set, print that up, and put it in the card, and then pop it on your friend's porch.
Absolutely.
Or whatever. But
just put a bow on it.
Yes. But, of course, social distancing and all that good stuff, you know, that is being observed, correct?
Yes, correct.
So talk a little bit Well, and actually not only that, so you got the meal going. With the tickets being sold out, what about the live auction and the bluegrass and all that good stuff?
Come out and listen. Yes. The auction starts at 5:00. Mm-hmm. I think you've got the notes.
Silent auction starts at 5:15.
That's it, yes.
It doesn't have a the meal 6 to 7, then live auction after that. So I'm assuming the live auction will start around 7.
Yes. Yeah.
So.
And but yeah, come out, and if you want to participate in the auction, come out and do that. But the cash and carry sale, that's yes. The opportunity for the
absolutely. And it looks like the weather is going to be good for it too. And you're not necessarily having to fight like the Rangeline crowd and everything else. So where is, and this is also a chance for you to check out the facility too. So to go in there, do a little shopping, stare up at the ceiling and, you know.
And those items are 80% off for retail.
So. Really? 80% people. Did you hear that? That's better than any Black Friday deal out there. Right. 80% off. So how can people get involved with Scottish Rite, the local Masons here, if they're interested? I mean, you know, you and I were talking during the commercial break. Yes, it does help if you know a Mason, but you don't have to.
No, you do not. You, like I said earlier, there's usually a person in the building. Right now, we don't have anyone right there. But there is a phone number on the door that is her cell number. Call, and you can schedule a time to sit down with someone. Also, every Wednesday at 11:45, we meet for lunch at 12:01. If you are interested in just seeing what it is, come down, have lunch at 12:01, meet some of the guys, and if you're interested, you can go from there.
And of course, you know, you guys focus so much on the kids, and you do have opportunities to come up with that pet project of yours. I mean, that's where Children's Haven came into play, is thanks to you.
Yes. Yeah. My year as master, which is basically president of the local lodge, each president wants their own project.
Sure.
Mine, I chose Children's Haven. I saw that there was a need for local kids. Mm-hmm. So what we did is we talked to the director. They said that they really didn't need anything right now, but coming up in Christmas, they had a whole Christmas. The angel tree was still open.
Right.
No one had taken anything. So she said, "Do you want one or two?" And I overstretched a little bit, and I said, "I'll take all of them." And at that year, it was 21.
Wow.
So 21 kids. We took their list, and the lodge does $250 without board member approval. So I didn't have a whole lot of money to work with. So I said, "Hey, we've got these presents or this list. What can we do?" So we had $250 that the lodge was going to do, but one member stood up and said, I'll give $100 towards it. And another one says, "Well, I'll give $100. And pretty soon we had all this money, and we bought not only did we get to cherry pick a couple off the list, we bought the whole list for 21 kids.
That's amazing. But of course, Chris, thank you so much for coming in this morning. Again, the barbecue tickets are sold out, but the cash and carry sale is going 1:30 is when it gets started on Saturday. Remind us where you're located.
505 South Byers. It's the big, pretty building.
Big, huge building.
Yep. Right in between 5th Street and 7th.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We've got more coming up.
So my kids were hesitant to broach the subject. Me moving into a retirement home? They thought I'd say no way, no how. But are you kidding me? No more home maintenance. No more being home alone? Boy, were they wrong. I love it here. So much to do and none of it's work. Hashtag Daddy's got a new home.
Welcome to West Ridge Assisted Living in Girard. Enjoy our made-from-scratch meals, tranquil spa, beauty salon, and plenty of entertainment. West Ridge Assisted Living. Call 620-724-6760 to schedule a tour.
Weather brought to you by Paynes. If you have a heavy-duty or an over-the-road truck, Paynes can take care of your servicing. From oil changes to general repair work, drivetrain, clutches, and transmission. Call them at 620-231-3170 or find them fast in names and numbers.
Here's your forecast on 860 AM. KKOW and 97.5 FM Joplin.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. This is the Girard FFA chapter.
I'm Martina McBride, and I love my country.
I'm Tim McGraw, and I love my country.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Jason Aldean, and I love my country.
Hey, I'm Carrie Underwood, and I love my country.
Hey, I'm Keith Urban, and I love my country.
This is Four States Live with Shannon Bruffett. Welcome back.
And good morning and welcome to Four States Live. It is Wednesday, November the 18th, rolling up at 8:10 your time. And of course, if you would like to be on the show, hit me up with an email, fourstates@kkowradio.com. You can also message me on my Facebook fan page. Just look for Shannon Bruffett, AMI Radio Group. And James, I just stepped outside and it's another slintery day. Like, it starts out really cold in the morning, and then it gets nice and warm by about 10, you know?
Yeah, you know, here's the thing, though. It's going to be 70 today, 72 tomorrow, 73 on Friday. So it's going to be absolutely gorgeous. Sun all 3 days. And there's no rain in the forecast until Saturday. And it'll get cold again, which is, well, it's November.
Right. It is to be expected. I'm just glad that we're going to dry out for a few days, because the deluge that we got over the weekend, you know, we had water coming in the basement and, you know, the sump pump was working and everything else. And the ground's just been saturated over those rain events that we've had, you know, over the last several weeks. So it'll be nice to dry out a little bit.
And I heard that there may be snow in our future as well.
What? Four-letter words are not allowed on the show.
That's what I heard, too, earlier in the week.
Okay, I'm going to break it down for you, all right? Children will sit up all night and they'll keep looking out the window hoping for snow because, well, a couple of things. Obviously, they won't have to go to school. They can make money. It was a career of mine when I was a kid was shoveling snow, all right? There's some money to be made.
Right.
And people like to play in the snow. One of my, Jacob, my son, his favorite thing to do. Remember, we moved here from Texas, so when there's a bunch of snow outside, he can't wait to get out there and start shoving it down my back, back of my coat. So, you know, it's just fun till Daddy took the T-Bird away.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, it brings out the kid in all of us. And I'm sure Grayson can relate to that in some form or another, can't he?
He can. You know, what I don't understand with kids is how they don't feel the temperatures. They will be out there until their feet are purple, or they will be out in the 110 degree heat until their face is bright red.
Oh.
And they just don't seem to notice. And like, you have to, like, in the summertime, we have to sometimes make Grayson go inside and go, dude, go cool down, get a drink of water. Like,
and they're sleigh riding and building snowmen and baking gingerbread cookies. I'm ready.
Awesome.
Oh my.
So, well, we don't do the gingerbread, but he does love baking cookies. So absolutely loves making cookies.
Well, what's his favorite?
Anything with chocolate. He loves anything with chocolate. And I make homemade cocoa. I don't do the packets. I do homemade cocoa. And so I actually get the cocoa powder out, the vanilla, the milk, And, you know, sometimes I'll add, I'll let him choose from the different baking flavors that I have. So sometimes we'll do peppermint cocoa. Sometimes we will do, like a creme brulee cocoa or whatever. And so we do different flavors and we add the marshmallows. And that's what we do on a wintry cold night. So
yeah. Smart kid.
It's pretty easy to see why she's, her man has stayed with her for 22 years because she's a wonderful, you know, it's hard to find. Back when a girl could still cook and still would, you know that song.
Right, yeah,
and
exactly.
So for somebody to do that.
With all due respect to Merle Haggard, yeah, I know what song you're talking about.
Is your anniversary coming up on Saturday?
It was actually last Saturday.
Oh,
we missed it.
Happy belated anniversary there, Shannon.
Yeah, really.
That's okay. Hey, we've been married for 22 years, and then we were dating like another 5 years or something like that before that. So we're an old fart married couple. So.
Oh, my.
Another four-letter word. She's letting them fly today.
I know. Yeah, Left and right.
Yeah, so much for four-letter words there, Shannon.
I know. My bad. But at least it's...
Oh, yeah, our favorite.
So that's coming up then, huh?
Yeah, yes. You know, just let me know when you're ready, because we're ready.
Yeah, we are definitely ready for some more Kansas City Chiefs football.
So do you guys get together and, like, try to be friends with Belly Boy?
That depends on who Belly Boy is.
You call yourself a Chiefs fan and you don't know who Belly Boy is?
Who could that be?
He's been, like, it doesn't matter how cold it is, he is at the Chiefs game without a shirt on, and he's all painted up.
Is he rich?
I don't know. I think we interviewed him years ago at some point, but if you're a true Chiefs fan, you know who Belly Boy is.
Okay, well, let's
Google
just,
it. You're going to have to Google it.
I hope Belly Boy is saving his money.
We'll both have to Google it now.
Saving his money, because have you heard of how much a Super Bowl ticket costs?
Yeah, at least $10,000.
Yeah.
Have you heard that? Did you hear about that?
I did hear about that, and I don't know where the page is, but I'll tell you what. At least $10,000 and maybe even $12,000. Yeah, here it is. A Super Bowl ticket in Tampa is going to cost you at least $10,102 because of reduced capacity, all due to, COVID.
Right.
Anyway, now this, of course, is the average ticket price, they say, could jump to $12,858 with limited capacity. And this does include or may include a coronavirus test. Can you imagine being tested for the game?
Okay, but remember... Okay, Elon Musk of Tesla and SpaceX said he was tested four times. Two were positive, two were negative. Erica Badu said her left nostril was positive and right nostril was negative. So how reliable could that be?
Well, I don't think they're very reliable. If one nostril is positive and the other is negative, how reliable is the test?
Now, we got some Chiefs players with COVID, or just one, Mecole Hardman, right?
Mecole Hardman is out because he did test positive for the virus.
But we have two offensive linemen who are in quarantine.
Yes, and they're both starters. Eric Fisher, the left tackle, right tackle Mitchell Schwartz, they're both on what they call the reserve COVID-19 list. After being close contacts with a positive case, not necessarily Hardman, it could have been anybody, but nonetheless, they're both on the COVID-19 reserve list, and another offensive lineman is also on that list. Again, these are linemen that have been identified as close contacts with a positive case, even though they have not tested positive for the virus.
Are they coming Sunday, or they're still quarantined?
Well, at this point, they're still quarantined, but who knows? They may have already tested negative at least once, maybe twice. They're hoping that at least to have two negative tests before they can even return to practice.
But if they're not practicing, go ahead, Shannon. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm just saying because we're going to have to wrap things up here because I got a couple of guests walking into the studio right now. But I will say this. Do yourselves a favor during the commercial break. Go to Google. Just start typing in Belly Boy and it'll automatically come up.
Oh, boy. There's our assignment all from right. Four States Live good right deal. There.
Yes. So, hey, we've got more coming up. We're going to learn how you can take part in Jasco Casa. That is on the way next. Your time now is 8:17 on Wednesday, November 18th.
You never know who might stop by, but it's going to be fun and informative. Four States Live with Shannon Bruffett, 860 AM KKOW Pittsburgh and 97.5 FM Joplin.
Downstream Dan here, coming to you live on DCRSN.
And welcome back. It is Four States Live on Wednesday, November 18th. Joining us this morning, Debbie Kolkebeck, the executive director and founder of Jasper County CASA, as well as Samantha McDaniel. She's a volunteer with CASA. Thank you, ladies, for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having us.
So, Debbie, we're going to start things off with you. Talk a little bit about JASCO CASA. What exactly is this program?
CASA stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocates, and JASCO stands for Jasper County.
Of course.
So we are Court-Appointed Special Advocates in Jasper County, serving all of Jasper County for kids newborn to 18 that have been removed from their homes and are in state custody due to abuse and neglect. So all our kids have been through a whole lot and are in foster care while looking for a permanent home, reunification with their family, or adoption, or whatever healing and permanency can take place there. So our advocates go through about 30 hours of exactly 30 hours of pre-service training, an interview, a background check, and then they are appointed by a judge to a child or a sibling group. And they really serve as a consistent, caring, trusted adult and get involved in just everything about the child's life and the court case that's going on, and spend time getting to know the child, the foster family, the biological family, visit doctor, go with doctor's visits, go to school. Just get involved with everybody in the child's life to know the best interest for that child, because our ultimate goal is to be involved to make sure the child's voice mm-hmm. is heard. There's so many people going on, and so many people coming and going in the child's life at this point in time, that we want to be that consistent person that walks beside them, make sure they're getting what they need, the mm-hmm. support they need, whatever that is, and that their voice is heard in court so that they get this, both the services that they need as well as the permanency that they need. So our advocates are really, really special people that spend 8 to 12 hours a month mm-hmm. with kids.
Well, and Samantha, you're one of those advocates. What got you involved with JASCO CASA?
Well, I'd heard about CASA through other avenues and it hadn't come to Jasper County yet. So I'd kind of been following it through Springfield. Mm-hmm. And then when I heard that it was coming to Jasper County, I jumped on board. I'm a product of the system. I was in foster care when I was growing up, and it's just something that's very close to my heart. We didn't have something like that when I was growing up, so I definitely wanted to be a part of it.
So then you've obviously seen the difference that, you know, not having it when you were going through the
yes.
system, you've seen the difference then of what can happen in a child's life, the difference that it makes.
Yes, definitely. Oh my goodness, if this would have been around when I was a child, which was a long time ago, I think it would have made a huge difference. Mm-hmm. There wasn't anyone to talk to. There wasn't anyone that was on my side or anyone's side back in the, I'm going to date myself here, but the 90s.
Right, right.
So it's a great program. And yes, I think that it's wonderful.
So what do you do as an advocate?
So I kind of like what Debbie touched on. So I meet with the kids. One child, siblings, so on and so forth. We always get one case at a time. And I meet with the kids on average once every 2 weeks or so. And I usually will stay for about 2 to 3 hours. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy my kids. I go to their school functions. I go to their doctor's appointments. I talk to all of their caseworkers. Lots of times they'll have numerous caseworkers. Sometimes they'll have numerous homes that they'll be in. So their foster families, other siblings, their parents, just basically put everything together. And then I talk to the kids about how they're doing, what they want, what they need, how they're feeling, how school's going. Lots of times they just like to talk about things that they're doing,
right.
You know, that nobody cares about, and they have somebody that they can really talk to.
Debbie, you know, you've been with it obviously since the beginning, since you're the founder here of the Jasper County branch. What difference have you seen on these kids who then exit the system, find that adopted family, or you know, age out, or what? I mean, what difference have you seen?
I have seen it gets more real mm-hmm. to me every day. We've been in existence for almost 2 years now. So some of our first kids that we started with, their cases are coming to the conclusion, and I've seen awesome things that I know the CASAs have made a difference about for adoptive resources that have been found and secured. through reunification when it was possible. Families that I really didn't, when I first encountered them, didn't think that there would maybe be the possibilities for reunification. So we've seen those happen. I've seen kids gain confidence, trust that had been really lacking, someone to believe in that found them,
right,
despite all the moves, that there was a person there that went with, you know, knew where they were at and made sure they were safe everywhere they went. So we keep just the stories kind of memorialized in,
sure,
in what the differences that it makes. And I continue to see differences beyond what I even anticipated.
What do you look for in an advocate? Like, what are some of the qualities maybe that Samantha has that you're looking for to make a good advocate? Because they are that voice of the child sometimes, mm-hmm, and you know, all the time. You know?
Yeah.
What are you looking for?
Really, it is the person and the willingness to get involved in a child's life and to kind of really stay engaged, I think, is the main thing. We have volunteers from 21, you have to be a minimum 21, and we literally have 21 to 84 right now. And our volunteers, we have males, females, professionals, professional business executives, teachers, nurses, all people, as long as they have the heart and the interest in the children. It is it's unlike any other volunteer job. It's pretty personal.
Mm-hmm.
You get pretty involved in the lives, and you have to be willing to set aside maybe some of your own judgments and biases. We really want people that will look at the best interest of the child. Maybe not how I was raised or what I think of for my ideal
situation.
Life.
Yeah.
Yeah, our situation. But what's the best thing for that child? So that's, mm-hmm, a lot of what we do in the training as well, is to help you learn how to kind of go through the system, but really to look bottom line at the individual child or children that you're appointed for.
So, Samantha, do you think that your personal experience going through the system, have you utilized that in talking with some of the kiddos that you're working with?
Yes. A lot of the experiences that I had growing up are things that I think a lot of people don't have, which is good.
I mean,
you don't really want them. But it helps me to really understand what they're going through more, mm-hmm, I think, and to empathize with them versus just think, well, this is crazy, you know. So I'm able to empathize with them and understand. So a lot of times they're able to actually talk to me more candidly, I guess you could say,
mm-hmm,
because they know that I know.
Right. So how long which I know each child is different. Does it take some time to build that trust?
Yes.
I mean, is it kind of one of those, we spend the first day going, what's your favorite color? What's, mm-hmm, your favorite food? I mean, do you kind of have to kind of build on that and,
yeah,
we see that go?
The first visit is always kind of awkward for everyone, the foster parents, the kids, so on and so forth. I like to bring stuff to do and ask them questions about themselves and even have, you know, coloring books, or if they're older, you know, they can write and we can just kind of talk and get to know them. It's just basically getting to know them.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like that for the first few visits, honestly, until they open up. And each child is different. Some kids open up really easily and some kids don't. Some kids, it takes a couple of months.
Mm-hmm. Have you dealt with sullen teenagers?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I mean, that's difficult on no matter what the situation is. So,
yeah.
But I mean, it what's it like when you finally get that breakthrough, when they finally open up and say, this is how I'm feeling? Because that's the hardest part, no matter what situation you're in, sometimes, for people to just tell what you're feeling.
Mm-hmm. Personally, for me, it's amazing. I feel like I can finally really know what they want, you know, and they're not scared anymore, and they know that I'm not going anywhere and that I'm going to be there. Because a lot of times the problem is that they're shuffled around so many times, even before they get into foster care, they've been with miscellaneous family members, friends, this, that, and the other. And then when they get into foster care, then lots of times they're shuffled around in foster care, mm-hmm, as well, and they don't have that one person. So once they realize that I'm not going anywhere, it's a really great feeling, because they'll hug you and, you know, love on you, and they're excited to see you. It's good.
And what's it like when you, either one of you can answer this, but what's it like when you see that child finally find that forever family?
Wow.
Okay.
There we go. It is a wow. Mm-hmm. Or to see, I will get teary-eyed thinking about it, is to see a family back in a new home. I think in most cases, we're not going to go back to the same physical location where the abuse or neglect happened, but to see them start a new life back together, or to see that moment when you realize there's nothing that's going to change us, we are family forever, is just, I get goosebumps thinking about, and I think we can all put ourselves in that. How do you know we are okay now?
Yeah. So you've got a couple of training sessions or some, mm-hmm. you know, informative sessions that are coming up over the next couple of weeks. So people out there, if they're interested, can get involved. We're going to be talking about that here.
We leave politics at the door and share what's going on in our community. Welcome back to Four States Live.
And welcome back to Four States Live. Back with us this morning, Debbie Kolkebeck, the executive director and founder of JASCO CASA, as well as Samantha McDaniel, who is an advocate / volunteer, because she spends several hours a month. It's a commitment. It's definitely a commitment, but we're not talking like 4 hours a week or 4 hours a day, you know?
No. Well, the actual visits on average every 2 weeks, sometimes every week, it just kind of depends on what's going on with the kids, you know, and how much I think they need me.
Sure.
But usually 2 to 3 hours every 2 weeks visits. And then in between that, of course, phone calls and emails and follow-ups and things of that nature. So, yeah.
Is it kind of one of those heartwarming and heart-wrenching situations when you go into a new family's house?
Yes. Yes. You never really know, I guess, what... You have a background, you know, obviously mm-hmm. some information that has been gathered, but you don't really know, because it doesn't dig down deep into who the kids really are
right.
or what they've really been through. Nobody really knows
right.
at that point, and that's basically why you're there.
So, Debbie, talk a little bit about preparing these advocates for going out there. 30 hours of training, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you prepare them for, we're talking abuse, neglect, maybe the parents have had some issues and they've had to be removed from the home. That's a trauma in itself.
Absolutely.
How do you prepare these advocates to work with these children?
Well, we do have support. We do have each volunteer is assigned a staff person, a supervisor, that works closely with them to kind of help process those things through. Because like you said, it's a new experience for most of mm-hmm. us to kind of walk in the shoes with the family and to be there with them. So in addition to training, we talk obviously in training a lot about what we're going to see, what's going to happen. And then you get into, as Sam said, get into the individual situations, and we try to process that through with our volunteers and to get ready. And we always, of course, want our volunteers to be completely open to call us. We'll go with you if that's a good idea, to go to the home and or to meet somewhere with you. So we just really try to support all the way through. I don't think we can always be prepared for the things that we may learn or encounter as we go through with the
right.
families, but we're there.
For folks who are interested, you actually have a couple of information sessions that are coming up. When are those, and what can they expect to learn about?
We do what we just call info sessions. We're doing through Zoom right now, and they're about 30 minutes. We just explain more in depth about what the commitment to be an advocate for a child looks like, what it would be, answer any questions, talk about it. We have two of those coming up on December 3rd at noon and on December 7th at 5:30, and you can sign up for those on our website.
Okay.
JASCOCASA.org, JASCOCASA.org, or on Facebook, same thing, JASCO CASA on Facebook, and just sign up for an information system, or just check out our website, call us, email us, whatever. We are really looking for applicants. We need more volunteers in mm-hmm. Jasper County. There are over 450 kids.
Wow.
It's an astounding number mm-hmm. of kids that are in foster care every night in Jasper County. And as a new organization, we really want to serve as many of those kids as we can. And right now, volunteers is our limiting factor. So we're really trying to get the word out. So if you can share our social media with your network or talk about us, we're really wanting to talk to churches or groups or anybody in the community we can to get the volunteers. We'll start a training class in January. We do; those are all online right now. And then we'll do a training class as soon as we can fill it up, because sure. we have the need for advocates for children right now.
And I know you just kind of graduated some people recently,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, so Facebook is also a good place to go. That way you can find out about those information sessions and get in contact with you guys. Samantha, I know that you've had some success stories. Of course, you are a product of the system, and this is something that is near and dear to your heart and made you jump on board, because this was not around.
No.
When you were in foster care, has this helped you heal a little bit too?
A little bit, you know, helping.
I didn't mean to throw you under the bus.
No, that's okay. Helping other children and even hearing some of the stories that they're telling me that relate, kind of, you know, they kind of bring me back, I guess you could say.
Sure.
So yeah, it does help me heal a little bit, I guess, but more so I just wanted to make sure that no child was ever left behind.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be cliche, but
right.
you know.
So what's it been like for you? How long have you been involved? I mean, they've only been around for about 2 years, but
I was the second class, so I've been 15 months.
Mm-hmm.
15 months.
So what's the experience been like for you in those 15 months?
Oh, goodness. It's been up and down, uh-huh. honestly. Some days are great. Some days are very emotional. A lot of tears, a lot of laughter. It's just, it can be a roller coaster of emotions. But all in all, it's the best feeling in the world to be there for these children. To know that they know that you're there and that you're not going anywhere. Like I said, having an adult that you can trust,
mm-hmm.
and that you really can trust and that you know is not going to do you wrong,
right.
is super important. And that's basically what a CASA is.
Well, Debbie, what made you bring this to Jasper County? Because you actually were involved in the Newton County
mm-hmm.
Branch.
Yeah, I was a volunteer in Newton County, and I just saw the difference that it made. I lived in Joplin, lived here my whole life, and saw the difference that it made. And it just played in my heart, and that Jasper County kids deserved, as Samantha just said, that trusted person there to be beside him too. And that's kind of what I do, is administration stuff. And so we just got a group of great community leaders together to see if it was needed here.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a steering committee, and it was roundly endorsed that we needed this. The court was very welcoming to us to bring us in. So we work closely with Children's Division and the court system to bring our volunteers in to be one-on-one with the kiddos. So I just saw the difference that it made, and I saw actually so much more than I expected to see mm-hmm. of what children were going through. It was a real wake-up call to me, kind of hit me between the eyes of, we've got a lot of kids here that don't have what they need to be able to have a good story, to be able to have a happy future. So it was just kind of a mission for me.
And we also want to point out to everyone out there that you do background checks, and
yes,
you do,
absolutely.
You guys go through every step possible to make sure these kids are as safe as possible.
We are work with National CASA. We're approved and accredited by National CASA Association, which is in 49 states, and by the Missouri CASA Association. We were the 22nd program in Missouri. So it's a long, tried and true program for safety of the volunteers as well as best interest for the children. So yeah, absolutely. Everything that we do for the sake of the children and the volunteers.
And are things changed right now with COVID? I know,
yes.
I know that with the training classes and stuff, those are online, and the information sessions. How are you guys working this with those in-person meetings or not in-person meetings?
Oh, we have a lot of front yard meetings.
Okay.
We have obviously the big events where we get together and do our training are now online, and as well as the one-on-one contact between the CASA and their kids. We encourage everybody to use their own best judgment of what they think. We can't go into the schools right now as mm-hmm. much as that was a big thing we do, is go to lunch with the kiddos.
Mm-hmm.
And right now the schools, of course, aren't allowing that, which we understand. So we have to get a little creative. But there's a lot of fun ways to interact that we've heard about and that we've watched during the last 7 months.
All right. So remind us the website or the email, how they can get in contact with you if they're interested in yeah. the information session.
It's jascocasa.org, JASCOCASA.org, or just our phone number, 417-680-3250.
Perfect. Well, Debbie, Samantha, thank you so much for joining us this morning and getting the word out about this amazing program here in Jasper County. And of course, I've linked you up to your Facebook page through my Facebook fan page. So look for Shannon Bruffett, AMI Radio Group. We've got more coming up on Good Morning on Four States Live. And welcome back. It is Four States Live on this Wednesday, November the 18th. With us this morning, Brian and Peggy Newton with Newton's Jewelers in downtown Joplin. Welcome this morning.
Good morning.
Good
morning.
Yeah, you know.
Good morning.
Yeah, speak it up, man. It's good. It's a sunny morning. It's gorgeous. You guys are
Thank
getting,
you for having us.
There you go. So we are getting ready, of course. You've got an open house that is coming up. So Peggy, do you want to start with that?
Oh, it doesn't make any difference. Ladies first.
Okay. Or I can flip a coin.
Okay. Well, hey. I'm the boss. So.
Okay.
November 20th and 21st is our open house. We'll be open 9:30 to 6 both days. And we will have specials. We'll have pick a discount. So our pick a discount will be up to 50% Ooh. Off.
I like the discounts. I like the discounts. You can't go wrong there. So, Brian, are you all decorated there, or do you do the decorating yourself?
I pretty much stay back in the cave back of my office, and all the girls, there's like six girls, and I'm the only guy. So they call me when they need assistance. But I do want to remind my wife, she said she was the boss.
Uh-oh.
I actually signed the checks.
Uh-oh.
So don't you think that kind of...
Okay.
Yeah, we'll let this one slide.
All
so
right.
Talk a little bit about the business, because this is family owned sure. and operated for how long now?
Well, let's see. In January, we'll be 107 years
wow.
old. So, you know, we opened in 1914 in Oklahoma, McAllister, Oklahoma. At one time, we had 16 stores. Over the years, as the, you know, I'm third generation, the second generation started passing, some of the stores were sold or closed out. So there's two left, one in Fort Smith, and then, of course, our store at 5th and Main, downtown Joplin. I couldn't help that.
Of course, you have to.
So, yes, longevity. I think it speaks volumes. Because we have to be pretty close to the oldest family-owned business in mm-hmm. Joplin, I would think.
I would think so,
Top
too.
Top five, maybe.
Right, right.
So
talk a little bit about the services that you offer, being locally owned and operated for 100-plus years, and that the services that you offer that you can't get from those chain stores.
Okay, well, we're really a basic, functional jewelry store. We do everything in-house. We don't send your grandmother's ring to Chicago or New York or to have it worked on. We do it right here. We do it hands-on. You buy a ring from us, generally we'll try to size it that day or the next day. So that's so important.
Mm-hmm.
And we deal in unique. We try to stay with one of a kind or maybe five made. Not mass produced.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we try to stay, we have something for everybody's budget. You know, people think that we're strictly upper end, but we're $50 on up.
So definitely a chance to stop in. And Peggy, I know, you know, you're the boss. So I'm going and she's closer to me, so she can hit me first. So, who picks out the jewelry? How do you guys go about picking out?
She does that.
That's what I figured. That's why I was aiming this question
yes.
at her. So what do you look for in those unique pieces that you bring into your store?
Quality. Mm-hmm. The uniqueness, of course. Fashionable, that mixes with the trends today, but classic. It's crazy to see how in the 90s we were all yellow gold. It's coming back with a vengeance, which I don't think yellow gold ever went out of style.
I think it depends on the stone color.
That is true.
That's
so. Very true.
Yes, that's true.
Yes, like sapphire looks great with white gold.
Yes.
Emerald looks great with or yellow. Better with yellow.
Yeah. Yep.
And
good.
I think Ruby too.
So you and I need to go out and have some brunch.
Okay.
We can discuss those colors because it depends on the color of the amethyst. I might go either way on the yellow gold or the white. I could go either way on that, on the purple.
Yes.
Sure, sure.
But it also looks good in a black rhodium too.
Ooh.
That's kind of a new technique. So.
Yes.
So what
Very
is that?
Unique. I'll let you
Black rhodium. Rhodium is a plating. You know, whenever we, you know, white gold's truly not white in its raw form. So you have to add rhodium to it to get that bright white polished look. So now they've come up with the black rhodium. So it's basically the prong work or the bucket or the support on the ring is plated in black rhodium. And it gives it just a whole different dimension as far as the look of the ring. So certain stones qualify for the black rhodium. Some don't. Some do. Certainly wouldn't do it with a diamond, you know, white diamonds.
Right,
you know,
right.
But with your amethyst, a lot of times they try to do it to enhance the color of the stone and be, you know, unique. So it's like a canary diamond. A lot of times it's the yellow diamond will be set in yellow prongs. Diamonds take in the colors around them. So
sure. It makes it a little bit more...
Well, it richens the color. So.
Yes. So how do... If somebody comes in looking for something, let's say an engagement ring. I mean, a lot of people do get engaged over the holidays. And the guy's there shopping on his own. What are the questions that you ask to find the perfect ring? Because you don't want it coming back to you and having to... Where the lady's going, yeah.
First of all, we ask what his budget is because we don't want to give him a heart attack by showing him a $10,000 ring if he has a $500 budget.
Right.
So we go with budget, and then we just ask him, does she have any pictures that she picked off of Pinterest? What color of metal? What shape of stone? And then we go from there and we start building what he would want. And most of the time, it's right there in the case, but there are times that we have to do custom, and we do a lot of custom.
Custom's not bad. How does the custom process work?
Well, the custom process is several different ways, but once if we have a picture of a ring that the customer desires, we will make a CAD/CAM image or a computer image of it, provide it for the customer. Once it's been approved, then we'll go ahead and pour it in the metal and set the stones. You were talking about sales, and when the customer comes in, most important word in sales is listening. You got to just hit the customer will always tell you, they'll guide you to what they want.
Absolutely. And of course, again, an open house is coming up Friday and Saturday. Peggy, remind us, of course, the times, and we've got cash prizes we're giving away too.
That's right. 9:30 to 6 p.m. on Friday and Saturday, we're doing a $500 cash giveaway. If you go to our Facebook page, Newton's Jewelers Joplin, like the page, like the post, comment on the post, share it. That gives you four to be put in the drawing.
So we're going to hit commercial break a little early since I already have your page pulled up and I can take care of that
right
now. So, no, Peggy and Brian, again, thank you so much for joining us. And again, look for the giant sign. It's been there for 8 million years.
It's been there since 1940. Yeah.
So yes, look ma'am. For there at the corner of 5th and Main.
5th and Main, downtown Joplin.
All right. So thank you both so much for joining us here on Four States Live. And make sure you join us for a Thursday. We'll be back. We're going to be meeting some of this week's featured pets with Golden Paw, as well as details on the Teen and Adult Challenge virtual banquet that's on the way tomorrow. Have a great day.
Bringing you the latest farm and ranch news when you need it most. 860 AM KKOW Pittsburgh and 97.5 FM K248 DR Joplin.